everyone. This is Fights of the Round Table, Episode 3, the show where five idiots argue about topics that don't matter in a March Madness-style bracket tournament. I'm your host, Matt Sinix, joined by John Avery.
What's up?
Edson Bezerra.
Hello, my children.
John Dobson. Josh Hurth.
Hello, hello.
And Matt Swearingen.
Hello.
This week's bracket is the most iconic duo. And I'm not going to lie to you, it was a little difficult to whittle it down to 16. It would have been very easy to get all a bunch of number one seeds, so I tried to mix it up with some variety.
Losers, gotcha.
We got some losers in there, for sure. Sweet. So, yeah. You guys feel good?
Let's do it.
Ready to get started?
I'm ready to go.
All right. Kicking things off here in round one, we have number one seed, Batman and Robin.
Never heard
yes.
of
them. Yes.
Versus...
Are those, is that Marvel or DC?
These are the Marvel Batman and Robin, actually.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
So yes, getting back on track here. We have number one seed, Batman and Robin, versus number 16 seed, Scooby-Doo and Shaggy.
Oh!
Oh!
Yeah, this is a no-brainer to me.
You're really screwing with my childhood here. But it is Batman and Robin.
They're all, great, right? But like, even a 16 seed is good in this.
Bracket. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because there's so many.
But Scooby-Doo is not a duo. That's you have the entire gang. So.
Valid right. point.
Sounds like we're ready to vote. Is anybody voting for Scooby-Doo and Shaggy?
Yes.
Yes, I respect it. I respect the crap out of that.
It's just so much of my childhood, but...
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like it's a 4-1 Batman and Robin taking it.
Correct.
Awesome.
Scooby-Doo.
Moving right along. We got number 9 seed, Peanut Butter and Jelly, versus number 8 seed, Macaroni and Cheese.
Oh man, that is tough. Oh
my gosh, it's beautiful. It's
okay. I wish that we could do the video because the pain on everyone's face right now
right
is priceless.
So straight up, like my marriage might end if my wife listens
to
this podcast.
Thanks.
Because peanut butter and jelly is a more iconic.
Vote wisely.
Or don't let her listen.
Actually, like for me, it's not equal to just say like which food is better. It is the iconic duo of food is peanut butter and jelly.
No, I agree with that. I think it's more iconic than the macaroni and cheese. I'm not saying I'd prefer it. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I think it is more iconic, and that is the goal here today, is iconic duo.
That is true. The bracket is iconic duo. So, all right, time to vote. We may have a split opinion here. So let's start with, I'm going to start with Matt Swearingen. How do you vote, sir?
PB&J, man.
PB&J. Josh Hurth.
Well, the first thing I thought of was a dancing banana. That was singing a song.
Peanut butter jelly time.
And he didn't sing butter jelly time. Macaroni and cheese time. No, so it's definitely peanut butter jelly time.
Sounds like we have a vote for PB&J.
You got it.
John Dobson.
PB&J.
PB&J. John Avery.
Yep, going PB&J.
All right. Boom. Edson.
Mac and cheese.
Woo! Cool. All right. Peanut butter and jelly taking that run. Next, we have the two. Katie's in distress right now for those who may have heard that. All right, so we got our two weird ones. We got the silly ones here. Number 5 seed, college students and crippling debt, versus number 12 seed, Google and ads.
Google and what?
Ads. Google and ads.
Advertisements. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where would we be without Google and ads? I mean, that's a
probably
I don't know, man.
Student debt. I don't know.
Okay, listen, I'll start us off here. While Google and ads are synonymous with each other, much like Frank Sinatra saying, you can't have one without the other, right? When you talk iconic duos, the lifespan of Google and ads is much shorter than college students and crippling debt. So I think long term, or the past 50 years, maybe. I mean, I'm not sure when colleges started becoming so unattainable in terms of dollars and cents that it required crippling debt. But
well, I guess they didn't have college when you were younger.
Well, no. We used to follow our rabbi around. We were handpicked by him at a young age. Uh-huh. But so I'm leaning more towards college debt.
Google's listening right now, by the way.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Because they're going to send me an ad about college debt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or about peanut butter and jelly. or anything else that we talk about. Yeah,
I can only afford the peanut butter and jelly because of the college debt.
So, like, I don't know. So when I think of ads, like, Google's not one of the top few things that pops in my brain is, like, the attachment there. Like, I think about Super Bowl ads first. I think about ads on games on my phone that I can't get around. I think about all kinds of things. So
Google does it. But
I think about debt. College students pops in pretty quick.
Yeah.
I think that's one of, like, the top three things even. It's like, oh, the students in college, like, okay, where do they go? What's their major? And not like a question you would ask, but like, how much debt do you have?
Exactly.
There's a reason the term broke college student exists, right?
Right.
All right, you guys ready to vote?
Ready.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the same people. Matt Swingen, how do you vote?
College students and crippling debt.
All righty. Josh Hirth.
Part of the fraternity of Crappa Crappa Crappa. I'm going with college students.
Am I cool enough to get into that? Is it like how much debt you're in that like helps you get into that fraternity?
Yeah. If at any point you went,
if you got a full ride, like you're not cool enough to. Yeah.
Everyone's welcome.
John Avery.
Give us some more of that debt.
All right.
I mean, don't.
Let me go just put it out there. Anybody voting for Google and ads? All right. Yeah. We got a clean sweep then. 5-0.
Clean sweep.
College students.
We never can speak of Google and ads again.
Together specifically.
Well, at least not in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, even if we did, how would they use that to give us more ads?
They'll find a way.
Can you give me an ad for Google?
I'm sure they could find a way.
I'm sure they could. Okay. Next up, we have number 13 seed, Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy versus number 4 seed, Woody and Buzz Lightyear.
Done.
Yeah.
No one watched SpongeBob as a kid. Anybody voting for Mermaid Man?
I'm familiar, but close to it.
No. Yeah. No.
Well, listen, the seed difference is pretty significant, right?
If I would have had twin boys right out of the gate, I would have named them Buzz and Woody. So
that's
probably correct. Not true. But it's
but it would have crossed your mind.
It would have definitely crossed my mind.
Yeah. All right. Sounds like a clean sweep for Woody and Buzz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
That was the easiest one of the night so far.
All right. Next up, we have number 3 seed, Mario and Luigi. Versus number 14 seed, Calvin and Hobbes.
Wow. That is unfair.
I was wondering where Calvin and Hobbes would be seated.
Yeah.
When you went Mario and Luigi, I was like, ooh, classic. And then you went Calvin and Hobbes to, like, one up the classicness.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
I don't think he saw what he did there.
Well done.
We saw. We heard.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, listen, I think Calvin and Hobbes, for me, is one of the all-time most well-thought-out, intelligent, hilarious, deep, brilliant comic strips ever. I don't like to read. Most of you guys know that already. But
you can
read.
Or doing an audio podcast and not a blog. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I can speak it and I'll just do voice to text. It'll be wrong, but I'll do it anyway. So for me, Calvin and Hobbes was instrumental in developing everything about my personality. Which
now we know who to blame.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Watterson. Good luck getting a hold of him.
Rip the legend.
No, yeah, he's still alive. So, he just doesn't do anything.
For me, Mario and Luigi was much like a much bigger part of my childhood than Calvin and Hobbes was. Mm. The video games, the movies, like
what a terrible life you had.
Yeah, I know.
But this is iconic duos, though, too, right? Like,
and for him,
I think they're equally as iconic. Like, yeah.
But, I mean, well, Mario and Luigi together.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Mario as a little brother, yes, Luigi is important.
Originally, it was just Mario. Right. And then it was Mario and Luigi. Mm-hmm. Whereas Calvin and Hobbes has always been the duo of Calvin and Hobbes. Like, there is no, there's never a point in Calvin and Hobbes' lifetime that it's just Calvin or just Hobbes. Like, you have to have both. I think for me, I have my pick. I know what I want.
I do need to make a correction. From the beginning, it has always been Mario and Luigi. Even though you only play as one at a time. You could do a two-player. And when first player dies, second player gets a turn as Luigi.
Correct.
So
Donkey Kong?
Every first is Super Mario Bros.
I'm talking about Donkey Kong was Mario first.
That was Jumpman. All right, we can get into this
it's
later.
Mario.
It's Mario. But there wasn't green Jumpman.
But you could. You can definitely have Mario without Luigi. Like I'm in the same boat as Opsum where that was bigger for me. Like we had a NES growing up, and so I got to play that all the time. Calvin and Hobbes is big for my dad, but I've also seen Calvin and Hobbes in other things. There's a artist that I follow on Instagram. His name's Brian Kessinger. At least I think that's the right guy.
But oh, I know who you're talking about. Like,
he does Calvin and Hobbes, but it's Star Wars, so it's Han and Chewie, and awesome.
I've seen those. Those
so
are
like seeing
phenomenal.
That work its way into other stories and other mediums, I think shows that it's more iconic.
Mm. You guys ready to vote?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Mass Origin.
For me, it is Calvin and Hobbes. Both are iconic. And honestly, as weird as this is, neither of them were a big part of like my childhood or anything. But Calvin and Hobbes just has always seemed more iconic to me. Mario and Luigi has always seemed like Mario and Green Mario.
Poor Luigi.
Moldy Mario.
Feels moldy Mario.
True. Poor guy.
Whether you
poor
like guy. It or not, it feels true to me. So,
Joshua.
Yeah, it's Calvin and Hobbes for me as well.
Okay. John Dobson?
It's Mario and Luigi for me.
Yippee! Cool. It's in Bezerra.
It's got to be Calvin and Hobbes.
And John Avery?
Calvin and Hobbes.
There you go. Calvin Hobbes, Bill Watterson takes it 4-1. Cool. Good discussion. Next we have number 11 seed, Kirk and Spock versus number 6 seed, Timon and Pumbaa.
No.
You're an evil person.
That's rough times.
Oh, man.
So had to wheel it down to 16. Okay.
Oh, my God. They're all good. I am not a Trekkie at all. I don't know that I've ever watched a full episode of Star Trek. So it is 100% Timon and Pumbaa for me.
Listeners, Edson Mazzara is in shock right now. He's paralyzed.
Maybe
his screen froze.
We have to replace John.
I am irreplaceable. Have you not read the text messages from today?
Yeah, no, I tried replacing him literally all day today.
Guys, so like...
I'm so disappointed.
The Lion King... You know how I feel about it. It's an unhealthy love. Oh, I love it so much, but...
You want a minute?
Yeah, keep going. I'm sorry. Okay.
Take a minute. Somebody else.
So I'm going to explain my side of things here, right? Because I think when you talk about an iconic duo, while Timon and Pumbaa are fantastic, and they hold a special place in my heart due to an event we did last year and during... the song, we had a student blot his knee. So there's that bond.
He broke
right?
his leg, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we have a bond there. However,
we broke a student.
listen, the stage was sound. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It wasn't a sound stage. That's different. With Timon and Pumbaa, I think they're great. I think they're wonderful, okay? Me personally, I was of the age when that came out that I wasn't going to see Disney movies, right? I was in high school and it was like, yeah. Don't give me that look, Edson.
There's no age that I was like, oh, look, I'm not going to go to that to see Lion
King. I just didn't go see it. Now, I've seen the movie 1,000 times, but it didn't have the impact because the age I was at when I saw it. Okay? Now, I grew up with Kirk and Spock, and they've been going on since the 60s. So you talk
since,
about now.
Since after you were born.
Since after I was born, right. So for me, you can't have Kirk without Spock and vice versa, I don't think. But I also don't think you can have Timon without Pumbaa and their importance. I think I'm speaking for you guys as well when I say that. Mm-hmm. But an iconic duo, if I went up to 100 people right now and said, who's Timon and Pumbaa versus who are Kirk and Spock, I honestly don't know what responses I would get for that.
All right, so it's interesting.
Way more people would know the Lion King.
They're both somewhat relevant nowadays Disney? With the new Star Trek movies and the remake of Lion King.
So here I would like to add what I think will be a definitive thesis on this so that we can help differentiate who's better and who's not. When you think of a duo of Timon and Pumbaa, that's an actual duo. There's not a third person in there. You don't think of Simba as the third person. However, when you think of Kirk and Spock, it's a trio because they have Bones McCoy. So it's the three of them together being the friends that they are on Star Trek. It's the three of them. It's not the two of them typically mentioned. And so if we're talking about in the category, because it kills me to not want to name Kirk and Spock, if you're thinking of the category of duo, I would think that those two fit better in a trio than they do in the duo, and I would pick Timon and Pumbaa.
Mm. Edson, here's the bottom line. Their trio's down to two. So
fact.
Timon literally calls them a trio at one point. So I think to definitively say that they're not would be incorrect.
Mm. Whose side are you on?
There, to definitively say that
he they're doesn't not know. A trio
disagrees with the source material.
except he does say that their trio's down to two, which means that they are a duo.
They stay together, though.
That just means they're missing.
They follow him back to Pride Rock. Come on, go watch the movie.
And oftentimes, Bones stays on the ship when Kirk and Spock and Sulu and then the red shirts go down there.
I was
going
to say, and then the red shirt,
right? Because you need alien fodder. So.
When you were starting that argument, Edson, I didn't know who you were going to say is the third. So I don't know that he's nearly on the level. Like, I think Kirk and Spock are the duo, and you can add in a lot of different characters there, but I don't think that Bones is part of the iconic.
See, I think that when you say Kirk or Spock, I just think Star Trek. I don't think the other. But when you talk about Timon and Pumbaa, you talk about Timon and Pumbaa. You don't talk about Timon or Pumbaa. It's Timon and Pumbaa. So
I get that.
That's where I am on that.
Mm. Well, good arguments. Anybody have anything to add? If not, we're going to vote.
I'm ready to vote.
All right. We're going to start with you, John Dobson.
It's Timon and Pumbaa.
Timon and Pumbaa. How about Edson Bazir?
Timon and Pumbaa.
Okay, Josh Hurth?
For me, it comes down to Hakuna Matata versus Live Long and Prosper. And it's Live Long and Prosper. I'm going with Star Trek, Kirk and Spock.
Alrighty.
Good choice.
John Avery.
This is so tough, especially in the first round. Timon and Pumbaa are amazing.
Matt is genuinely concerned.
I know.
Matt
I know that you're on the line.
So that was one of the things with the new movie. It was like, all right, awesome, Mufasa's the same. And then I immediately went, oh, but Timon and Pumbaa aren't. Like, that was the second of, like, I love that Mufasa's the same, but I need Timon and Pumbaa to be the same, to be the real thing.
So were they not as good? I didn't see the live action one. Were they not as good in that movie?
I didn't either, but I know they weren't casted.
Cool.
But I guarantee they weren't as good.
They were actually
nope.
Probably just as good.
Nope, false.
says the guy who hasn't seen it.
It's a hard argument. Look,
I know what I'm about, okay?
Are you about to make a choice?
Yes. And it's Kirk and Spock.
Yes. Oh, right. Look at that. Game.
Really
Matt.
Called Spock in high
school. Word you need to
do.
Break the tie, please.
Poor Matt.
Make the right choice, Matt.
I love them all so
I really,
much.
I really wish Avery would have said, this will be fun.
I've been fine with it, honestly. It would have taken the pressure off.
Seems fun.
Matt, if I were to hold Lion King or Star Trek in front of you, which would you watch?
That's not the question.
And the question isn't even Lion King versus Star Trek, like, as a whole. It's not like...
That's correct.
It is iconic duo, Timon and Pumbaa versus Kirk and Spock. So I would argue that the new Star Trek, like the Chris Pine version, is just as good as the original because they got Kirk and Spock right. It works because those two work. The new Lion King was good and I enjoyed it. But when I walked out, I really just wanted to go see the original because I felt like they got Pumbaa and Timon, like they were wrong. It wasn't right.
Told you.
It didn't feel right. And
told you.
So they're two, they are both iconic enough that like it's like the I don't know, it rests there. Like this the quality of the product that they're involved in is so dependent on them as a duo. This is so hard for me. So,
because if they were worse in that movie, you have to include them as part of this conversation then.
Yeah.
So the same thing would happen is if Kirk and Spock were terrible in the movies.
Here's the thing. In high school, John Avery and I used to always say that, at least I said this and he told me I was right. That he was the Spock to my Kirk. Because I was obnoxious and lived in lunacy, and he was very logical. And so I'm going to let that sway me, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Kirk and Spock.
For listeners who don't understand, that is...
Yeah, Messorgen has a deep-seated love.
Yeah,
he just betrayed the Lion King.
I don't know how your students are going to look at you the same. I'm telling them that you did this.
Yes.
As long as
that hurts so much,
the
guys.
Topic was iconic duos.
It might be everything you've ever taught TV is now null and void.
So everything. You're going to tell his students that he made the right choice. So
no.
I got you
back.
That
should be interesting.
Well, that was a tough one. It was
a good choice, but I think it might be a trick of the lighting where Matt is or something, but it looks like there's a tear coming down his cheek there.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Welling up, not crying.
So, yeah. As long as the tears stay in the eye.
Just raining just on his face.
Tearing up. You didn't cry.
I thought you told Abby not to cut onions when we were recording.
I asked nicely.
I know. All right. That was a great matchup, by the way, Cinex.
Thank you.
I'm waiting to hear what painful thing you have next.
I know.
We got two old school ones next. So we have 7-seed Abbott and Costello, comedian duo.
And we know who that is.
Who done it, man?
Okay. I wasn't sure. You know, we got some younger guys here. And number 10-seed Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna.
It's no contest for me.
Yeah, cool. Me either. I think
we just have John Avery mulling it over here. So
Johnny's still chewing.
It's okay.
Is that a thumbs up?
I was going to say, I see a thumb.
I can watch Who's On First.
You can simmer. Yeah.
I can watch Who's On First 100 times in a row. It never gets old to me.
That is brilliant. One of the all-time greatest comedic bits ever.
Magic.
Yes.
Yes, but a chick with a Tommy gun, you know, just saying.
Does it have to be Bonnie or can it be any chick, though?
Right. I know, but in the context of the conversation.
Yeah.
But yes, any chick will do.
Are you good, Avery, you think, or are you still chewing?
No, I just won't go first.
Okay, you won't go first.
He's moving it.
All right. In that case, we're going to – everyone's ready to vote, but I honestly don't necessarily know. I think I know. Anyway, we're going to start with Messorgen.
It is Abbott and Costello. I grew up watching those old black and white movies that they would do. Whodunit is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And also, like, a quality story. I didn't know who had done it.
He just spoiled it. He did do it. Anyway, that's another
one. Who did do it?
Josh Hurth, how do you vote
first?
It's going to be hard for me not to put these guys through to the finals right now. I love Abbott and Costello so much. They're just geniuses. So, Abbott and Costello.
Awesome. John Dobson.
Hey, Abbott. It is 100% Abbott and Costello for me. 100%.
Is anybody voting for Bonnie and Clyde? Okay, nope. Clean sweep. I also grew up with them. I legitimately didn't know if the panel also did. So, wasn't sure who to match them up against. So, I picked another old timey.
That was a good one.
Good choice.
It's just Abbott and Costello.
So much better than if you chose, say, Timon and Pumbaa for them to go next. Right.
Is that going to be the John Lennon of this?
I don't think anything will ever be the John Lennon of anything.
No, because Timon and Pumbaa at least is a worthy adversary.
Wasn't he that Russian leader?
You can feel comfortable knowing that we didn't pick John Lennon and losing in the first round
as an
iconic duo. So it's okay. All right.
No, but you could do Lennon and McCartney. That would be I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of. Let's go. Sorry.
All right, so this is the last matchup of round one. We have number 15 seed Penn and Teller versus number 2 seed Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Oh.
Is anybody voting for the magicians?
No.
All right.
One of them doesn't even talk.
Yeah. Which talking.
I like Han Solo. Part of his act. Yeah. I know. I saw him talk in an interview. Weird. Didn't like it. Awesome. So that's a.
Who did that? That was amazing.
With the beard. That makes sense.
Yeah, the beard gives him the power. Yeah,
it's the hairiest one of us.
Been working
the hairy guy with the bandolier.
I need to get one of those.
Nice.
I always want a bowcaster so much. Like anytime I play a Star Wars game, if I can find a bowcaster, I get it.
Yes.
Good first round, guys. Good first round. You guys feeling good?
Let's do it. This is amazing.
We are on a roll, gentlemen.
Or other loathing going on?
No, loathing.
Josh is still upset about John Lennon.
We'll fix that.
But
yes. I mean, I was hoping to see Lennon and McCartney in this, so I can get some sort of redemption.
Why, so Lennon can lose twice?
But yeah. You know what, John?
Oh, man. Brutal. All right, here we go. Round two. We have number 1 seed Batman and Robin versus number 9 seed Peanut Butter and Jelly.
Oh, man.
Childhood
More
staples.
Iconic duo.
And what's beautiful is, like, those could not be more different, and yet they are such beautiful, iconic duos. But, I'm going to throw a wrench into things here. Okay.
To me, okay, we're talking about iconic duos, and the first thing that comes to mind is Batman and Robin. However, in how many iterations do we see Batman by himself? You don't often see peanut butter or jelly by themselves.
Yeah, you do. Like peanut butter and apples, or peanut butter and celery.
Not by itself.
Peanut butter just by itself.
I eat spoonfuls of peanut butter more
also,
than I
Also, you've
eat
never
peanut
seen a Batman movie where it's just him literally by himself the entire movie. He still has other characters in the movie.
But not as his.
Like, that's
as
not a bad argument at all. Like,
what do you mean? Like, look at the Dark Knight, right? Yeah, who is he going to count on? He's going to count on Dent?
Yeah, but there's other characters in the movie. Peanut butter can't go with anything else because it's just a
peanut butter goes with bread, right? It's the peanut butter and jelly together.
Taking a spoonful of peanut butter. And
I agree. I agree, and I do it all the time.
Josh, this can be your John Lennon. You can just pick peanut butter and jelly by yourself, and we will all just pick Batman and Robin.
I'm merely trying to get you guys to understand that oftentimes Batman is by himself.
Oh, Batman.
It's a fair argument.
Okay.
Yeah. Many similar arguments were already made
without jelly
in round one. So
what's that, Matt?
Sorry,
I have peanut butter much more frequently without jelly than with in my actual consumption.
Yep, same here.
With both of them, it's the idea of the duo.
So the reason why I would struggle with this is when I think of like my 5-year-old son who loves peanut butter and jelly. If I'd be like, which one do you like more, peanut butter and jelly or Batman and Robin? The excitement that he would say probably would be with Batman and Robin, like, because who doesn't want to grow up to be Batman? I mean, minus the losing your parents thing. I mean, Josh is halfway there, but
I mean, wouldn't be good for you.
Yeah.
Well done, Edson.
I mean, we can't all be Batman. Someone has to be Robin.
Okay. True. So then let's look at it this way. So if peanut butter is Batman, right? We agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
What's better, jelly or Robin?
No.
This is
what do you mean, no? That's not a duo. Answer.
It's not
no.
Each individual thing is the duo.
It's part of the duo.
Okay.
Two equal parts come together.
Batman is so much better than peanut butter that the margin of, like, the lead that Robin
has not margarine.
When he's handed the baton. You're right. They may have. It might be peanut margin.
Margarine. I can't believe it's not peanut butter.
Margarine.
All right.
I'm not ready to vote.
Focus, guys. I'm not ready to vote.
You still need to chew on it more?
Yeah. Listen, you guys make valid points. I'm not saying you're wrong.
It's because he's got peanut butter in there, and so he's chewing on it. It takes a while.
He probably likes crunchy better.
See, that's the problem. I do like crunchy.
Batman would not be
crunchy. What is it? I don't want peanut paste. No. I want
Batman would be crunchy meal. Peanut butter.
Batman would definitely be crunchy peanut butter.
He literally has nuts.
If I'm gonna eat a spoonful of peanut butter, I want it to just be peanut butter, creamy peanut butter. If I'm having a sandwich, I want crunchy peanut butter.
Okay, all right, I get that. So, I always want crunchy though,
added
so.
From it because I'm gonna put Doritos on my peanut butter and jelly.
Yes, you are.
Well, that makes it a trio. Yes. Now.
Knows what they're doing.
Yeah, but that makes it a trio. So now it's a problem. So.
Getting complicated.
I don't know. I love peanut butter and peanut butter and jelly, but I can have peanut butter without jelly. I mean, I do. Like, I'm with Matt. I eat peanut butter by itself way more than I eat it on bread or with jelly or anything. But when I think about, like, iconic duos, I think about the dynamic duo. Like, it is Batman and Robin. Despite what the new movies are, it's Batman and Robin.
So, hold on. Now, okay, let's go back one step, though. I'm going to go back to the musical.
John Lennon?
Kind of. Because I'm going to music. It's the peanut butter and jelly song, right? It's not na 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 Batman Robin. No, it's not like that. It's Batman by himself. No, it couldn't work. It's terrible. Everybody hates Robin. Come on now.
Yes,
especially the Joker.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, and Robin laid an egg.
Yes.
Right, which means he's terrible. He just laid an egg. He's useless. You know? Ugh.
Have you ever had eggs? They're delicious.
Eggs are delicious, but I don't want – he's laying an egg. That's a little –
It's cool. A robin's egg.
He's a robin.
Something laid the egg that you're eating.
I'm not eating a robin's egg.
Robin's egg blue. It's iconic.
Yeah.
And there's no blue in his uniform.
Is there a peanut butter and jelly mobile that you would like to go ride in?
Yes! Oh. I would love that!
What is it, the Batman and Robin mobile?
All right, we need to move along.
Yep, I'm going to have to force a vote here. So let's start with John Dobson. I think
Batman and Robin.
Spot. Okay.
Yeah, Batman and Robin.
For Batman and Robin. Edson Bazaar.
I picked Bat Jelly. No.
What about Robin Butter?
That's how you get coronavirus, okay?
Coronavirus. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, how do you vote? I'm sorry.
And Robin.
Batman and Robin?
Yes.
Well done.
Two for Batman and Robin. John Avery.
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. Anybody voting for peanut butter and jelly?
No, it's Batman and Robin.
Absolutely.
Hey, I appreciate the argument, though, man. He kept that conversation going.
I'm just saying, you can't just dismiss peanut butter and jelly. There was valid points there.
I just only care because it's Batman and Robin. It's, yeah.
I agree.
Mm. Cool. All right, Batman and Robin take it 5-0. Next we have number 5 seed, College Students and Crippling Debt versus number 4 seed, Woody and Buzz Lightyear.
One is very sad and one is very
happy. I know.
And nobody wants to be 3? Sad.
Yeah, this is going to be a quick vote.
Yeah,
anyone voting for College Students and Crippling Debt.
Yeah.
But they're still together, so it's okay. Spoilers, sorry.
That's okay. No, don't worry, we're not breaking up the duos.
Who's still together?
Oh, the College Students.
Buzz and Woody.
I may have read
so,
this.
So, moving right along.
Misremembering.
So, just for clarity, is anyone voting for College Students and Crippling Debt?
No, we all don't love College Students or Crippling Debt. Wait, but we love
anyone does.
Buzz and Woody.
Love Buzz and Woody.
Very cool. All right, we got another 5-0. Woody and Buzz Lightyear move on to the semifinals. Now things are going to get a little hairy. So, we got number 14 seed, Calvin and Hobbes, versus number 11 seed, Kirk and Spock.
Oh, man. Oh, iconic duo.
I can't wait to vote on this one.
Oh, my gosh.
I sense a plot from you, John.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is yet, though.
I feel like with Calvin and Hobbes, we had a couple of us be like, it wasn't super like important for me or super, super big in my life, but the majority of us have experienced Kirk and Spock. Like, whether in the new iterations or old or both, like, that's been at least a bit, somewhat of a big part of all of our lives. So, like, I think that shows it's more iconic. It stands a little more test time.
This is a really tough one for me because of my love for Calvin and Hobbes. My son and I, we bond over Calvin and Hobbes, right? However, when you go iconic duos, it's really tough to get past the importance in the sci-fi genre of what Kirk and Spock mean. We go to cons every once in a while, and the lines to meet William Shatner are astronomically long. There's nobody waiting for Leonard Nimoy anymore, but that's not the point.
Oof,
maybe your soon. Mom.
Too soon. Maybe my mom, right? Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. That's a big yikes. All right, keep it going.
I wish she would live longer and prospered. But if Bill Watterson went to a con, the line would be around the building because he's so rare for his appearances and for what he does.
Who's Bill Watterson?
He's the creator of Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay.
So anyway.
that was really good that one of the people in this who's Calvin and Hobbes with you didn't
right,
know that.
right, exactly. So this one's actually going to hurt for me. Right now I'm leaning a little more towards Kirk and Spock, though, I'll be honest.
Cool. So you're more that. About sci-fi than spending time with your kid. Awesome.
That wasn't breaking news.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm like trying to figure out how you're surprised here.
I'm just letting the audience know the kind of old man Josh is.
Right.
Oh, but we found that out in episode one. He's bitter.
He is a bitter old man.
And we look again, just the way you are.
Again, this is
not breaking news. Have anything to add?
No, I'm ready to vote.
All right, we're actually going to start with Matt Swearingen up here. He's relaxed. He's ready.
Yeah, it's Kirk and Spock for me. They are more important in my life and been more of an iconic duo, I think, that has been reimagined for new generations and engaged with by the masses in multiple generations. I think Calvin and Hobbes are popular, but like percentage-wise of the public, I don't think that nearly as high of a percentage have engaged with them, and I don't think they're as iconic. So.
Okay, I don't disagree with you, Matt, but there's a lot more people who enjoy Britney Spears music than good music. So I don't want to use public opinion as a gauge here. That wasn't words either. you're not wrong. I agree. Like that's one of the things that's leaning me towards Kirk and Spock right now, is that they are so widely known. Versus Calvin and Hobbes, which he hasn't put out anything new in 20 some odd years now. So there's an entire generation that, unless their old fathers force their kids to watch or to read the books, then they would have no idea who Calvin and Hobbes are.
Now, see, my 8-year-old daughter is obsessed with Calvin and Hobbes. Like, she had seen one of the comic books in like a thrift store. And she begged me to find everything. She's like, she was reading through it. She's like, this is the best thing ever. I'm like, oh, we've got some of those at home. She's like, why have you never shown this to me? And I was like, because I'm a bad father. And so, when we came home and I gave her, like, I don't know, we've got 6 of the comic book collections of Calvin and Hobbes. And she literally started crying out of joy. And so I don't see kids crying out of joy from seeing Spock and Kirk, and it breaks my heart because I really absolutely love Star Trek. It was definitive in what I found, you know, for, I don't know, duty and honor growing up, but duty. But I would have to vote for Calvin and Hobbes. I'm going to stick with Calvin and Hobbes on this one.
All right, man. I'm going to go and tally that up here.
Yep.
Josh Arthurman, come back to you, man. Or...
Yeah, I do.
All right. We're going to go John Avery next.
It's tough. Josh mentioned a couple times, like, Watterson just doesn't put out any new stuff. And so it's hard to see that stay relevant. I guess I brought up in first round, I think. Some artists have adapted it, but it's just not pervasive the way that Star Trek, and even the old stuff, I feel like with Star Trek, holds strong in a younger audience. So I think I go Kirk and Spock.
Okay. John Dobson.
I just don't have an opinion on this. Isn't that what we're paid to do?
I mean, he wants me to go first so he can vote against
me. Not quite.
Me.
We're not quite sponsored yet, but we're working on it. So
right. Okay.
Eventually, we will be paid in Baconators.
Yes. That's and right. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Oh, that's what I'm having when we're Baconator. Done.
We're sponsored by Blockbuster, guys.
Yeah, so... perfect. I think for this, I'm just like, I'm going to have to lean on the side of just iconic, which to me is Kirk and Spock more than Calvin and Hobbes. But it's not because I like one more than the other.
That is the name of the bracket.
Is this an even, does that make it an even split?
It's currently 3-1. So Josh Hirth, what's your heart?
So it's 3-1.
Pressure's off.
The pressure's off now, so I'm going to go with my heart. My heart is going to say Calvin and Hobbes.
All right, that's good. I can respect that.
Man, I really want to go read some Calvin and Hobbes now.
Oh,
it's great. Yes.
Love Calvin. Amazing how relevant that comic still is.
Yes.
To
never read one.
Today's man. Matt,
you need to look up it's and so find the Snowmen comic strip.
Yes. Oh my god.
He is the most deranged. Basically, it's Zeke, my son Zeke.
With snow.
It's hilarious.
Nice. That's fantastic. Awesome. So Kirk and Spock taking it 3-2. Good discussion, guys. Really good discussion. Our last round of round two, we have number 7 seed Abbott and Costello versus number 2 seed Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Ooh.
I can't quite do it like John.
Yeah. That is
amazing. It's spot on.
That is amazing.
So that's my whole argument. You know who I'm talking about. I don't have to say any words.
And I can't picture him without Han by his side.
This one's interesting because both of these, so much they each depend on the other to be the duo. You know?
And neither one of them I've ever seen out. You know what I mean? Like, you never have Bud Abbott by himself. No one's watching a movie with Bud Abbott, right?
No.
And you're not watching a movie with it was just Chewie. You know what I mean? Like,
but you did. There's a movie called Solo.
I'll take your word for it. Because it's not Harrison Ford, so it's not Han Solo. Timon Pumbaa thing all over again. Okay.
Yeah, these are the facts.
So, but I think this is a really, really good matchup of true duos, in my opinion. Like, they are one and the same. Those two guys. You know what I mean? Like, Han and Chewie is one unit. So.
Unless it's Star Wars Episode 3.
The last two, right? The last two was also Chewie without Han Solo.
You know, that's fair.
Not by choice.
At this point, we're just putting facts out there. No, not by choice. Yeah.
That is so true. 3 of the 9 movies, then. Is that right?
Chewie that's minus
correct.
Han. Yeah.
It's Chewie minus Han.
Yes, 3 of the main.
Yeah, I mean, his appearance in 3 is, I mean, come on.
Right.
It is.
He's only on screen so that Yoda can climb up.
One scene and a quick name. Like, it is not.
Right. No, it's there to do the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You guys remember who that is, right?
Yeah, he's not. Like,
he's not.
Yes, it's a cameo in 3, right?
But you never had Abbott and Costello split up.
It is just a totally unfair comparison for me in breaking down the facts of them. Because I have no idea if either of them ever did anything by themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I just literally don't know. I don't know their careers well enough. Right. I know one incredibly iconic sketch and then a couple movies I watched growing up that were hilarious. Yeah, I just don't know the facts of both things well enough. Like, I know every appearance Han Solo or Chewbacca has made, but I don't know every appearance Abbott or Costello made. I don't know anything about like their live show lives. I don't know anything about their early careers. I don't know anything about their, like, I just know like who's on first, who done it. I watched a couple other ones growing up, but I couldn't even tell you what they were.
Abbott and Costello movies. Meet Frankenstein, classic.
Oh, that is a classic. Oh my gosh.
So,
by the way, Abbott and Costello meet Scooby-Doo.
Fun fact, Batman and Robin also did a crossover with Scooby-Doo.
Yes, they did.
True. Should have done the best 16 Scooby-Doo crossover. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure John Cena did a crossover with Scooby-Doo.
I believe he did, so. Actually, you're right.
Yes.
But not John Lennon.
So, so did Johnny Bravo.
Yes.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
I don't think I ever saw it, but I know it happened. Yeah, that's fun.
I don't know. So one of them is like, Abbott and Costello are amazing, but Chewie and Han are more iconic for me. It's just they are a unit in my brain, and they are bigger icons to me. So they are more iconic.
Good argument. Who else?
I'm going to go with Abbott and Costello. I think that what they've – not only what they did in terms of them together as an iconic duo, but the fact that they helped shape comedy moving forward. Four duos, the straight man, the funny guy, the skinny guy, the fat guy. Like, they are – prototypical of comedy for 100 years.
Another good argument. So I'm going to go and lock those in if that's okay with you guys. So we have one each right now. One for Abbott and Costello, one for Han and Chewie. Edson, what do you vote?
I'm not going to Han and Chewie. I don't want to. I can't go against the sci-fi genre twice in a row like that. So,
John Avery. Say no more. Oh man. And John Dobson, pressure's off. How do you vote, my friend?
Yeah, I still don't know which way I want to vote, but I think I'm gonna go with Abbott and Costello on this one.
Respect. That was a close one. 3-2, Bahan and Chewie.
Hats off to Abbott and Costello. They're magical.
Man, yes. They are a moment magical. Of silence and remembrance.
It really does make me want to go just like watch all these things. I'm going to go watch Toy Story now. I'm going to go watch Star Wars, read some Calvin and Hobbes, watch some Star Trek.
While eating some peanut butter and jelly.
That's right. Good stuff. Okay. It's time for the semifinals. So we have number one seed, Batman and Robin, versus number four seed, Woody and Buzz Lightyear.
All right. So to me, when you said iconic duos, my brain literally went to these two duos. Like, these were the first place that my brain went to. And I'm going to hold up Josh's argument from the previous round because I think it applies here more. I would watch Batman movies without Robin. Woody and Buzz are together in my brain. Like, they are a duo. They represent friendship. They represent learning to accept changing roles, and like, they, I don't know, they are crucial in so many things. So
I think for me, longevity wins out on this one for me. I think because they've been so iconic for decades upon decades upon decades, while I love Buzz and Woody and they're so great together, the history that Batman and Robin have, and like I think it was Avery said before, they're the dynamic duo. Maybe it was Dobson. I don't know. One of you people I wasn't paying attention to. I just waiting for you guys to stop talking so I can talk again. Honest. They're the dynamic duo. So when you think of iconic duos, they are the iconic duo.
So, but in that longevity comment, as time has gone on, the distance between the characters has been increased. Like, they used to, like, in the older stuff, they were always together. And then in the greatest Batman trilogy of all time, I think the greatest superhero trilogy of all time, we don't really get Robin. He's not in there.
Yeah.
So as time has gone on, they've created distance between those characters.
But the flip side of that,
it's not as much longevity as it is who was first.
Should we have done Batman
and Alfred? We did that before. We did that the round before.
now Batman and Alfred would have been
– that would have been gold.
Well, yeah. Okay, but
no, here's the thing. No. Here's the thing. You take 100 people and you say to them, name me the top two people that come to mind for a duo. And 99 out of 100 times, the first thing they would say is Batman and Robin.
Right. I agree.
And my argument is, if you're going to think of the top duos, and I get you can get into the nuances of which one's a better duo, because I am personally partially swayed with the argument of Buzz and Woody. If I just think iconic duos, the dynamic duo is the first one that comes to mind every single time. And that right there means that it's number one, and it's and it gets my vote.
And I think you can look at how pervasive they, the Batman and Robin were in so many different types of media. Obviously, starting in comics, TV, movies. I mean, like, what kid didn't have a Batman and Robin shirt or lunchbox, anything like that growing up? Like,
or now.
hey, respect.
And I still have a Mario and Luigi lunchbox, for the record.
Nice.
Not that anybody asked.
But you'd pick the Batman one first. And I think you can even see, like, in the storylines, Robin is a position, not a person. Because every time Batman tries to go back on his own, he knows that he's better with someone to help him and be by his side. So even Batman knows, like, you need Batman and Robin.
So, Josh, you're including Chick Batman. Chick Robin.
In the comics, but not in the animated
Dark Knight movie that we watched that was
terrible.
Painful.
She's terrible in it. Right. Yes. Well, so does that strengthen the argument for Robin as a title, or does it diminish it in the fact that Robin can be replaced?
It's kind of Batman and whoever.
I mean, I guess, although
Woody and Buzz.
There are multiple buzzes, though.
What's up?
I think there were multiple buzzes.
Well, there's thousands of buzzes.
Right, exactly.
There's only one that's with Woody. Like, there's only Woody's only got his one buzz.
But if he was to be replaced by another buzz, would that
work? He was Spanish Buzz for a while.
That's true. But it was the same guy. He just spoke Spanish.
There was personality difference.
Yes. Way more flamenco dancing.
Some good dances.
Yeah, I think, like, it started out years ago as Batman and Robin, but really all the stuff that I've watched has been Batman. Like, sometimes with somebody else helping him, but it's like, what was the last Batman and Robin movie? Was Batman, it one?
I think it was Batman and Robin.
Forever.
If you're talking live action,
Forever.
I think it was Batman Forever. Yeah. Which was 80s, 90s. Like, I think that's the last time Robin made an appearance in any of, like, the modern movies, modern Batman movies. And I also agree with Matt on this. Like, I'm happy to watch a Batman movie without Robin. Mm-hmm. Toy Story wouldn't be Toy Story without Buzz and Woody.
Okay, but here's the thing. Batman has been around for a really, 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 really long time.
So is Josh.
Thank you. I'm very proud of that work.
He's aged phenomenally.
Josh has aged phenomenally.
But here's the thing. You have a character that has an arc of development over literally 100 years. And you have Buzz and Woody that, even in the short time that they've had their development in their four movies, have either grown apart and come together, or one's been emphasized more than the other. I think that if you had the same span of time for Buzz and Woody that you had for Batman and Robin, that you would have people who would tear them apart, as you know, for in whatever context of culture they were trying to develop. And so just looking at that span of time, just the longevity of the duo, I think you cannot argue against Batman and Robin being more iconic than Buzz and Woody.
I think I can, and I will.
Cool. You're wrong.
That's some spiciness again. Right there. I love it.
Well, and I get what you're saying with the movies, Dobson, but I just think it's harder to do live action. I give a lot of weight to animation. Batman the Animated Series was one of my favorites growing up. Like, I have the entire series. And in a lot of even the stuff that's coming out today in the DC animated universe, Robin is almost always there. So I think, no, you don't see him in a lot of, like, the big live action films, but he is there in almost all of the animated iterations.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. I'm ready.
You guys ready to vote?
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right. Well, like it or not, we're voting. So. Good discussion, guys. Good discussion. Let me start off with Mr. Swearingen.
I'm going to go Woody and Buzz.
What a surprise.
Respect.
Yeah.
Edson, how you're voting?
Batman or Robin.
Batman or Robin. All right. Josh Hirth.
It's Batman and Robin.
John Dobson.
Woody and Buzz.
Oof.
Oh.
Avery.
Split decision.
Break the tie, man.
Batman and Robin. I love Batman. Woody
and
Buzz. Robin.
Yeah.
Edson actually just answered it. That's why. You know why he wins?
Because I'm Batman.
Where are the other drugs going? I love that line. Okay.
That's a tough one, though. That is.
That is a tough one. That was a very tough one. Good discussion. All right. Other semifinals here. We have number 11 seed Kirk and Spock versus number 2 seed Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Oh, I was excited for this one as soon as I knew.
Oh, I knew this was coming. Really,
crash course.
Star Trek. Oh, man.
Side note, good semifinals.
This is one of those tough ones where I don't think there's a wrong answer. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. I need a coin.
However, I feel more strongly about one than the other. So,
can you tell me which one you feel more strongly about so I can, you know, pick opposite of you?
Of course I can. Even though I voted with you the last couple rounds. So, just saying, maybe.
Yes, but you voting with me is very different than me voting with you.
Yeah, eventually you're going to come around to being right. Look, Chewbacca is awesome. But Chewbacca doesn't speak. Chewbacca is hired.
Wait, Chewbacca, speak.
He just said Batman and Robin are great.
See, you put some respect on my name.
I speak Wookiee.
Language, Chewie.
Goodness, we're trying not to get the explicit tag, guys. Yeah. Come on.
Literally. All right, yeah, so for me, it's going to be Kirk and Spock. I think as a whole, they are – so when I think of Star Wars, the first two people I think of are not Han and Chewie. When I think of Star Trek, the first two I think of are Kirk and Spock. So,
just out of curiosity, who do you think of when you hear Star Wars?
Actually, Luke and Yoda, the first two I think of. So –
But that's not a duo, though. That's not the first duo you think of when you think of
Star Wars. No, but I'm saying is, like, in terms of being iconic for their particular brand, the first things that aren't popping in my head are not Han and Chewie. Maybe Han. Han and Luke might pop into my head faster than Han and Chewie. And I love Chewie. I even had a metal Chewbacca pencil holder when I was in first grade. It was awesome.
Nice. So
we had to sharpen our pencils against rocks outside.
Get your Batman and Robin lunchbox and your Chewbacca pencil.
Yeah, I got beat up a lot as a kid. So for me, I think that the...
And an adult.
You weren't going to say anything, Edson. Gosh. I tell you something in confidence, and again, second time in a row. I just think that Kirk and Spock are... inseparable, that you can't have one without the other. And to me, it's the first thing I think of when I think of Star Trek.
That's a tough one. Who else, please? Iconic duos, arguments for.
In these sagas, both of these iconic duos have been separated at some point, right? We lost Spock to Khan.
God!
Even though we got him back, we still lost him to Khan for a while. And we lost Han to Kylo Ren.
By the way, they didn't make Star Wars, The Search for Chewbacca. They didn't do that. They did do The Search for
Chewbacca. Right. Yep.
It was Chewie.
It's
very easy to find. He's a big, hairy.
I felt a whole lot more when one of those duos was broken up than the other. And it hit a lot stronger when Han and Chewie were separated. I think it hit Chewie harder. I think it hit me and the audience harder. I don't know. They're both sci-fi duos from the same time era. And I think they've both spanned generations. But one of them had to be reinvented to connect with a new generation, I think.
And one had to be ruined to connect.
And the generation. Other – well, here's the thing.
To be disconnected from a generation.
The other one, I think our generation, my generation at least, connected with that before any of the new episodes. Like, I think we were totally connected to Han and Chewie and their love for each other, their bromance.
So wait, Matt, because when you said that, like, the loss of Solo for Chewie was more heart-wrenching for Chewie and for the audience, I don't think that's necessarily true. I mean, you saw that coming pretty much when Leia tells Han to bring her son home. And I'm like, yep, he's going to die.
Yeah.
but with Spock dying, that's not telegraphed at all in the movie. And when he dies, like, I was just old enough to remember my dad watching it, having come home from the theater, having watched that movie. Like, he wasn't crying because he's a man, but he was really close. And
I mean, it was telegraphed, though. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yeah, but you, like, don't think that they're going to kill Spock, though. Like, you,
right, know,
like,
saying there was a nod to that pretty early in the movie.
But right, you're talking about the new one, not the original, right?
No, in the original.
In the original, like, he says,
talking about the original.
You know,
he said, and you're right, in the original, he does say the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
And then he says it again, but in this case, the one.
But he has said that before in the Star Trek series. And so you could easily have taken that line as a nod to the series itself. And here in the movie, no one saw that he was going to kill, he was going to sacrifice himself to save the Enterprise. And when everyone in the theater saw that, and you're like, no, that they're not gonna actually kill Spock, like, they're gonna save him in some way, like, you can't not have Kirk and Spock.
Yeah,
right. And so as opposed to Star Wars, in which when they kill Hans, you're like, that had to happen, like,
it was the completion of his character arc,
correct,
and it was necessary for Kylo Ren to become Kylo Ren,
right. I think that when you look at this, the argument of the audience and Chewbacca being hurt by the loss of Han Solo versus the loss of Spock was completely felt by the audience as well, if you're going to use that as an argument.
For me, as the audience in both of them, and I watched them both about the same, like, I got into both of those series about the same time. And watch the old ones kind of in the order they were released. And I kind of did the same thing with both of those series. My parents are not sci-fi people, so I didn't, like, grow up with either of those series.
Sorry.
Probably, like, middle school was like, oh, I need to do all this. And so got both of those series and watched them. And, yeah, Han hit me harder.
Johns, what you got? I know Dobson's not really tricky. Got anything you want to
do? Yeah, I think it's my same argument as earlier. Like, when I think of Star Trek, I think of one or the other. I don't think of them as a duo. But I do think of Han and Chewie as, like, you don't split them up. Like, they are a package deal. You get one, you get both.
JJ Abrams.
I grew up in a Star Wars household, not a Star Trek. A Star Trek household. So, and I'm with Matt. Like, unfortunately, I had a friend of mine. Like, all I asked was, how was the movie? That's all I asked. And his response was, it was really great until they killed Han Solo. And I was like, what? Like, I was so upset.
It's a bad friend if they.
Oh, he's really mad.
You're not friends with him.
Ditch that friend.
Oh, we're not friends anymore. No.
Yeah.
It was Matt Swearingen. It was Matt Swearingen.
No, it was before I met you.
We're just too much class to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Never.
That's what it is.
But yeah, I'm with Matt. Like, the death of Hans hit, even though I knew it was coming, it still hit a lot harder than. Well, I didn't even know Spock died.
So do you think it's more or less impactful that his name's not Hans?
What?
Hans? I said, do you think it's
watch
or
the
less
early movies, because it's like half the time a hand.
Yeah. Yes.
I blame that on Billy Dee Williams, but.
Yeah, yeah, Chewbacca. My name is Hans.
He's hand like half the time.
What if it was Hans Gruber and Chewbacca? Is that an iconic duo?
No, he's not Han Solo.
I mean, what about R2-D2 and C-3PO?
So, ooh. I almost put them on here, but I didn't want two Star Wars.
Yeah.
duos.
And, our two carries that team.
Just a brief glimpse into my
fact
in my bracket building process. I realized that they were more of a duo in the OG trilogy, but not in the other six movies. So that's ultimately why I didn't put him in over Han, Chewie. All right, let's wrap this up. Johnny, have you got anything to add before we vote?
I think when I look at these two specifically, these two duos, I see Kirk and Spock as part of the crew. Like, yes, those two are the leaders. They go together, but they're part of the crew of the Enterprise. Han and Chewie are with the group, especially in the originals, but they're still Han and Chewie. Like, end of the day, they're taking the Millennium Falcon and going. That's a two-man crew. That is a duo. I think they stand alone together more than Kirk and Spock.
All good arguments. You guys ready to vote?
I'm ready.
Okay. Mr. Dobson, how do you vote, sir?
It's Solo and Chewbacca.
Okay. Edson, I also believe I know your answer, but why don't we make it official?
Oh, I honestly don't know anymore.
Oh, dang. Okay.
That's right. Why we do what we do.
Fair enough.
Yeah, give me a minute.
Yep, no worries. Josh Hurth.
It's only logical. It's Kirk and Spock.
Let's see what you did there. Swearingen.
Good old hand, man.
good old hand.
Han and Chewie.
John Avery.
It's Han and Chewie.
Pressure's off, Edson.
Well, then there's no pressure, but I would go. I'm going to side with Josh on this one as much as it pains me.
Very nice. Close one. Both of these were very close. Both semifinalists, 3-2, but Han and Chewie take it. Hey, John, what's yay? We moved on to the finals in Wookiee. Yeah, it sounds about right.
So good at that.
Very accurate.
It's never going to get old.
Uncanny. I love it. That's the best thing to come out of this episode. All right. Well, you already know. It's the one seed versus the two seed. We have Batman and Robin versus Han Solo and Chewbacca for the most iconic duo. Fights of the round table. Go!
I've been saving this one. But... So when you think about icons, you're talking about movies here, really, for the most part. I mean, one, you have comic books and other books and TV shows and all that stuff. But mostly, we know them from the movies. And then you're going Hollywood, right? And only one of them has a cave on the backside of the Hollywood Mountain because the literal physical cave that they shot the Batcave in the old Batman and Robin, that is on the backside of the Hollywood Mountain. That's where that cave is located. And, that's beautiful and iconic. And so for that reason, among 10 billion others, I'm ready to vote already.
That's a weird reason, but I accept it. I definitely didn't see that one coming, but I accept it. I got a couple thumbs up here. So for those who have not given me the thumbs up, please speak your piece.
I'm just gonna make it a quick final. But. No, I'm gonna jump in real quick because I think Matt, when you're talking about the cave as part of who they are, I'm also thinking about the vehicle, right? And like the Millennium Falcon is also iconic, but I don't think there's a more iconic vehicle than the Batmobile either.
Correct.
True. So that. I think overall, atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed, right? So it's hard to fight that.
Yeah, and Josh, I think even earlier you said, like, when I think Star Wars, Han and Chewie aren't necessarily the first two that come to mind. And obviously, there aren't necessarily other characters that come to mind when you talk about Batman and Robin. But if Han and Chewie were the face of the franchise, I think they'd have a much better argument, but they're not.
Agreed.
Yeah. I think this will be the first sweep of a number one that we will have.
I think John Wayne swept.
John Wayne was a 16 seed.
That is true.
And now we have Bruce Wayne.
Oh,
the Waynes.
Spoilers. We're gonna do Waynes.
Jeez.
Top 16 Waynes coming up.
Should we say it to make it official?
Next you're gonna tell me Dick Grayson's Robin. Oh, bye. All right.
Yep, make it official. Let's go.
Here we go.
Batman or Robin. Is anyone opposed?
Batman.
John Lennon.
John Lennon wishes he was Batman.
John Lennon wishes he were alive.
Yeah. He wishes he wasn't Batman's mom.
Okay, so how about this?
I didn't want to say it, Edson. I didn't.
So because it's the final, I still want to go and do individual vote.
Do it.
On the record. We don't want to, you know, get that wrong. So yeah. Best Orange.
Batman.
Josh Hearth.
Batman and Robin.
John Avery.
Batman and Robin.
John Dobson.
Batman and Robin.
Edson.
Haunted Noms came. Batman and Robin.
Seems fun. Seems fun.
It seems fun. Seems fun.
Well, there you have
it. Bunga.
There you have it. Batman and Robin are the Fights of the Round Table, Episode 3. Awesome. Most iconic duo. As with last time, we'll do a quick recap. Our round one winners, we have Batman and Robin, Peanut Butter and Jelly, College Students and Crippling Debt, Woody and Buzz Lightyear, Calvin and Hobbes, Kirk and Spock, Abbott and Costello, Han Solo and Chewie. Round two, Batman and Robin, Woody and Buzz, Kirk and Spock, Han Solo and Chewbacca. Semifinals, Batman and Robin, Han Solo and Chewie, and then Batman and Robin. Take the whole thing.
Boom. Excellent.
Great cool. Job, Cinex.
Love
great
it.
Matchups.
Fantastic matchups.
Very good.
There are so many other duos out there.
Yeah.
Honestly, feel like we could do another one someday. Another 16.
That'd be awesome.
There's so many.
There.
Awesome, guys. Thank you for joining us tonight, as always. For listeners, if you'd like to know more about us and about the podcast, you can follow us on social media. We'll have links in the description. And we hope you join us next time for episode 4 of Fights of the Round Table.